Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Chav Vav Amud Bet, that's 26b, and we are six lines down in the wide lines. We've been having a conversation about the requirement to tear one's clothing called Kriya when you hear of one's death. And in particular, we've been focusing on repairing garments, when they can be repaired and how they can be repaired, and also about tearing for multiple instances of avilut. If you hear about more than one death or if you hear about subsequent deaths, do you have to tear separately? That's the topic we've been discussing, and we're going to continue that now with the issue of successive deaths. If you heard about a death of a relative and you tore your clothing, and then you hear about another death subsequently, what do you have to do related to tearing your clothes? Pligi ba Rav Matna Umar Ukva. There was a dispute between Rav Matna and Mar Ukva. Pligi means pligi. The word comes from plag, which means to cut in half. So it refers to an argument in which there's a division between two sages as well. The Tarvaihu, both of them, Mishmei de Avua de Shmuel the Levi, and they were reiterating an argument made by Avuah de Shmuel and Levi. Chad Amar, one of them said, Kol Shiva Korea. So, meaning, if you were sitting Shiva, and so you were wearing a torn garment that you had already torn, and then you hear about another death, Korea, you must tear a separate rent in your clothes for the new Bisura Ra'a, for the new report of a death of a relative. La'achar Shiva, but if you heard of the death after you had finished sitting Shiva, Mosif, then you can simply add on, as we explained in our previous recording, we paskin that you can simply be Mosif Kol Shehu, you can just add a little bit of a tear to the previous tear, and you are Yotze, you fulfill your requirement to tear. The Chad Amar, and the other one says, Kol Shloshim Korea. As long as it's within the 30-day period, you have to, and when you hear about the new death, then you have to tear a separate rent. La'achar Shloshim, but if you hear after 30 days, Mosif, then you can add on to it. So the halacha is that after 30 days, as we'll see in a minute, even if you haven't actually repaired the garment, it is considered to some degree as if it is repaired, since you have permission to repair it, and so you can add on a little bit of a tear. On the other hand, Rashi seems to indicate, you know, we'll get there in a minute, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Anyway, he says after 30 days, you can simply add on a little bit to the tear. Matkif la Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira asks an attacking question. Matkif has a language of violence to a certain degree. It's a hostile question. Manda Amar, Kol Shiva Korea. The one who says, the first opinion, that as long as you're still sitting Shiva, you have to tear a new rent in your clothing. Amai, why would that be true? So the answer is, Dilo Nitan L'Sholulo, because within 7 days for other relatives, you're not permitted to even loosely or widely stitch up the clothing. You have to leave it torn for the first 7 days. Elahad Amar Mar, but Mar has said, Ha'isha Sholal Tola Altar. We allow a woman to fix up her clothing even immediately, even during Shiva. So Hachinami, so here too, we should be able to, it should be considered as if it's possible to fix it even during Shiva. So the answer is Hatam, there in the case of a woman, Mishum Kavod Ishahu. The only reason that a woman is allowed to tear up her clothing is because it is not modest and it's not comfortable for her to have to wear a torn garment that might reveal, that might be revealing for her. So therefore, even though technically the halacha is that you're not allowed to fix up the garment, for kavod ha'isha, for the honor of the woman, we do allow her to do it. But since it's not the ikar hadin that she's allowed to do it, then it doesn't count either for her. She's not allowed to, the woman herself is not allowed to extend the tear when she hears about a new death in her family. And we cannot apply that principle to anyone else. That's why he still argues that you have to wait until after Shiva if you're going to be Mosif on the original tear. And he asks a similar question on the other opinion. Manda Amar Kol Shloshim, the one who says that you have to wait until the Shloshim is over, And if it's within the Shloshim, then Korea, you have to tear a separate rent. Amai, what's the reason? Deloni tan la'achoto, that you are not able to fix it until after 30 days. Ella la'avi v'le'imo, what about for one's father and mother? Deloni tan la'achoto le'olam. As we saw, you're never allowed to do ichui, to fix the garment completely for your mother and father. You have to leave it torn forever. Hachinami, so here too, perhaps we would be stringent here and say that you should, that if you had torn for your mother and father, you should never be able to be mosif, because you can never repair it. So hatam, he answers, mishum kavod avi v'imahu, that is because of the honor of his mother and father. So just like for the honor of a woman, for the woman's honor, she's allowed to stitch up her clothing temporarily, even within Shiva. So too, for a mother and father, even though it's not the Ikar HaDin, it's not the essential law, the essential law is that they ought to be able to fix their clothing after 30 days. But for the kavod of his mother and father, we insist that he never repaired at all. But since it is a special case and it's not Ikar HaDin, it does not apply. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Hayotze bebeged karua lifnei hamet, one who goes out to the cemetery to bury their deceased with a torn clothing, hareze gozelet hametim v'yatachayim, they are stealing both from the dead and from the living. I think the interpretation of this is that they are stealing from the dead because they are not showing proper honor to the dead, because they have a torn garment, and one is assuming that they're not going to tear again. So they are not showing proper honor to the dead by not tearing kriya for them. And they are stealing from the living because they are falsely representing that they tore their clothing for this deceased person, when in fact they were only wearing an already ripped piece of clothing. Okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, that's Rashbag. We are 11 lines from the bottom at the very beginning of the line. Rashbag Omer, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Ha'omer l'chaviro, hishilani chalukecha. If you say to your friend, lend me your garment, let me borrow your shirt, ve'elech v'avaker et abba, and I'm going to go visit my dad in the hospital, shehu choleh, who is ill. The halach umtsao shemet, and then he goes to visit his father to do bikur cholim, but instead when he arrives, he finds that his father has passed away, rachmana litzlan. So then, korea, he tears his friend's shirt. But umeacho, then he has, soon after he leaves his father, he has to fix it up with ichu, he has to fully fix it up because it's not his shirt. Uchshiyavo lebeto, and when he returns to his house, machzir lo chaluko, he has to return the shirt to his friend. Vinotein lo deme kiro, and he has to compensate him for any loss of value that has occurred because he had to tear and then repair his shirt. So he has to pay also for the repair and also for any loss of value. The imlo hodio, but if he did not tell his friend ahead of time why he was borrowing the shirt, so his friend doesn't know that there's a possibility that he might have to tear it, harize lo yigabo, then he is not allowed to tear kriya. In fact, what he would have to do is go home, change his shirt to his own shirt, and then tear kriya. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, chole shemet lo met, in the case of an ill person, and I didn't check the commentaries in the Shulchan Aruch, but we must be talking about here a chola sheyesh bo sakana, a person who we're afraid their health is precarious, and someone in their family dies. So they ought to have the responsibility to mourn for them, and the first thing they would have to do is to tear their clothing. Ein modiino toshemet. We do not inform the ill person that they are going into a situation of mourning. Shema titaref dato alav, because it might mess them up. It might make them go crazy. Or when I say go crazy, I just mean it might upset them in a way that would endanger their health. The ein mekar in bifanav, and you don't. Not only do you not tell them, but you don't tear kriya in front of him. Umeshatkinat hanashim mipanav, and if the women are sobbing or yodulating in front of him, you tell them to be quiet. Because you don't want to upset him or her in any way, because it might endanger their health. The Shach in Siman Shin Lamed Zayin in Yoredeya, he says even if the person finds out somehow or another that their brother or sister or other relative had passed away, you still tell them not to tear Kriya, because even though they've already known and so they'll be upset about that, the act of tearing Kriya also is a very dramatic act, and it might make them think about their own death and make them give up hope on life. So you shouldn't, he says, even then they shouldn't tear Kriya at all, even if they know. Okay, we continue on with a different halacha. U'mekar'in lekatan mipnei agmat nefesh. You tear for a minor for agmat nefesh in order to arouse sadness in the others, meaning the minor himself, the child, is not required to tear because he's not yet bar mitzvah, but by having them wearing torn clothing, it arouses the pathos of the death, and it's so we do that. Here we're probably talking about very, very small children, meaning even potentially toddlers, that we tear for agmat nefesh. Because as the Be'er Heitev mentions, when the children get older, you might have them tear for another reason. You might have them tear for the sake of chinuch. Once a child arrives at the age of 9 or so, you want to teach them how to be a halachic Jew. And so they would actually fulfill almost all of the dictates of kriya and of mourning for the sake of chinuch, not for agmas nefesh. Okay, another halacha. The kor'in al-chamiv al-chamoto. So for relatives that are not his direct relatives, but are relatives of his spouse, that is, his father-in-law and his mother-in-law. We saw this earlier in the Masechta. You tear as well, mipnei kavod ishto, because of the honor of his wife. And the same thing would apply for a wife or a husband. That even though you're not a direct relative, since it's your wife's relative, we tear kriya for them as well. The Amar of Papa, Tana be'evel rabati, as Rav Papa said, it is taught in Evel Rabbati, and as we mentioned, that is Masechet Smachot, one of the small Masechtas that doesn't have any Gemara on it. Avalo yaniach tinok betoch chiko, Avel, a mourner, lo yaniach tinok betoch chiko, should not put a baby in, should not hold a baby. Because the baby will bring him joy or laughter, because that's what babies do. And then he will be found to be disgusting to other people. In other words, a mourner holding and cooing and laughing with a baby, some people might find that inappropriate, or it seems inappropriate for mourning. You know, some people might feel otherwise, but the halacha is that we should avoid having that, that it's not an appropriate way of consoling. It's not actually consoling, it just brings a kind of a joy. Okay, that brings us to the two dots. We are now 2, 4, 5 lines from the bottom at the two dots, and we are quoting the last section from our Mishnah, which is back on Chaf Dalet Amud Bet. So on the last line of our Mishnah on Chaf Dalet Amud Bet says, "V'ein mavrin ela al mitaz zekufa." And the girsa here is a little messed up. You have to add in the word ella, v'ein mavrin ella, al, and here it says mitot zukufot, but in the Mishnah it has it singular, mitas zukufa. And this word mavrin is talking about what's called the seudat havra'a, which is the first meal that the mourner eats when they come back from the cemetery, and that meal is usually provided by the neighbors, and it's a very simple meal. Usually we eat eggs because it's a circle of life. So we're going to discuss that now. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Haulech lebeit avel, if a person goes to a mourner's house, Imhaya libo gaspo, if his heart is full, Yavruhu, he should give him the mourner's meal, Almitot kfuyot, on an overturned bed. So v'imlav yavruhu almitot sukufot, and if not, then he should give him the mourner's meal on an upright bed. So there's not 100% sure, clear, what libo gaspo means here. One possibility is that it means he feels very close to him. They're very close friends. And if they're very close friends, then the comforter can join the mourner on his overturned bed. They eat sitting on the, so to speak, sitting close to the floor. But if he's not extremely close to him, then he should turn the table upright and eat and serve him the meal sitting at an upright table. And that's not 100% clear if both the comforter and the mourner are supposed to be at the upright table, or if it just means the comforter is an upright table and the mourner should sit on an overturned table. That's not 100% clear from the Gemara. The other way of looking at libo gaspo is how the mourner is. If the mourner is feeling gaspo would mean happy. If the mourner doesn't seem so sad, perhaps the mourner needs to add on to eat the meal at a mita kfuya in order to add on to his sadness because his heart is still a little happy. Whereas if he is not, if he's feeling in a proper mourning role, he doesn't have to eat it on a mita kfuya, on an overturned bed, but he can eat it on an upturned bed. Okay, now we tell a story about this. Rava itra be milta. For Rava, this is a euphemism. We've seen it before, but it means that someone in Rava's family died. But the way that it says it in the Gemara is something happened to him. So that's a euphemism for a death. Al legabe Abba Bar Marta. So Abba Bar Marta went to visit him and to bring him the Sudas Havra. Duhu Abba Bar Manyomi, and some people call him Abba Bar Manyomi. Rava Zakif. So Rava, when he came over, he turned his mita, which he presumably had turned over as an act of mourning. He turned it over from where it was turned. It was kfuya. It was turned over, and he uprighted it. Rava uprighted it. Zakif means to turn upright. Abba Bar Mirta kafe. Abba Bar Mirta then turned it back over, upended it. So Rava was offended by this. And he said, Amar, kama leit badate lahait sober merabanan. How little consideration does this young Torah scholar have? He basically insulted him. He said he was acting insensitively. Now, it could be that he was acting insensitively to Rava's feelings as a mourner, and Rava was trying to show him how he felt, and he was being insensitive to his feelings. Or I think it could be that he was overruling his mentor. Like, Rava was the senior scholar here, and this young Torah scholar thought he knew the halacha better. If Rava turned the bed upright, he should have honored Rava's decision instead of, so to speak, blowing him off. Okay, last section. Tanu Rabbanan, a rabbi's taught, holech mi makom l'makom. If one is traveling on business when they hear that they have suffered a loss and are becoming an avel, im yachol l'ma'et be'isko yema'et. If he is able to minimize his business, he should minimize it. Ve'im lav yigalgel imahem. And if not, he should roll with it or roll with them. These both seem to be they both seem to be the same, or it's hard to know what it means. Meaning, if he's able to minimize his business, he should minimize it. If he's not able to, he shouldn't. He has to make a decision. And if not, then not. But what does Yigal Geli Mahen mean? So Yigal Geli Mahen can either mean that he should take as passive a part in the business dealings as possible. So if he has partners, so if he's able to minimize his business and not do the business, that's great. But if he has to do the business, he should let his partners take the lead and he should play a passive role. Alternatively, it might mean if he doesn't have partners, that if he's on the business trip, he may need to make a certain amount of money or do a certain amount of business just to get home, just to pay for his passage home or something like that. So he should do just enough in order to be able to get home. It's an awkward position not to be at home when you find out that you have become a mourner, and you don't have to take an exceptional loss in order to observe the mourning. On the other, in our situation, a person would fly home right away and join their family for Shiva. In a situation where transportation was not as swift, he would have to make alternative arrangements for sitting Shiva in a foreign location. We'll stop there on the second line down on Daf Chav Zayin. Have a wonderful day.